Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, the first Audio Face of the, the first official episode of Audio Face in the decade, in 2020.
Didn't you just remember on Thursday when we were recording the last episode of 50 of the past?
Yeah, you know, if y'all picked up on that. this is episode 126. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
We've got some albums for y'all. We've got some news stories. I'll go over the albums real quick. So we're going to review Circles album by Mac Miller, posthumous album, and we'll get into more details of that. We'll review Maniac by Halsey. RYC, a Raw Youth Collage album by Miramessa. And we've got some singles and other fun stuff. And
This is a music podcast. An irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters.
That's not in there.
I've been screwing around with this, but we got to it eventually. It is fun to be doing this podcast in 2020. And there were a lot of releases actually that happened in between December when we cut off reviews and January when we started.
Correct.
We're gonna do those and they're gonna get to those throughout the
next couple weeks
for sure. But we can only do so much at a time.
Anyway, we're two humans. So let's go right into it. So we got a single from Drake and Future called "Life Is Good," and it's a lot of trap and a lot of "My veins are promethazine and Percocets," because it's Future. I'll give it this. The music video is actually kind of cool. The song's just normal.
The song's weird. Drake and Future's parts couldn't be any more different.
And They're very different.
Long gone are the days of Drake and Future actually rapping to the same beat on the same song. Now it's just they created two separate songs and put them together. Not even smart Travis Scott way, but kind of just a really weird, disjointed sort of way.
Niggas swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Niggas caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, this shit too plush.
It's cool, man. Got red bottles on. Life is good. You know what I mean?
100,000 for the cheapest ring on a nigga finger, little bitch. Ooh. I done flew one out to Spain to be in my domain, automata, bitch. Ooh. Dropped $3 on the rain, called it Bentley truck, little bitch. Ooh. I was in the trap serving cocaine, they ain't been the same since.
Ooh. It really didn't sound that.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's not great. Definitely 3.6 rockin', solid.
Definitely not as great as Jumpman and What a Time to Be Alive.
Just that entire album. Nope.
Yeah. Speaking of trap, Talkie Monsta released "Fried for the Night" featuring Earth Gang, and it is quite interesting.
I don't like that song at fucking all. I'm sorry.
It is really interesting.
I really don't like it. I don't know if it's just the voices and everything, the production of it, but if y'all are gonna do that, don't do that. just don't.
I go through shit, don't die, hug, one of my ties, I run it straight through the night, mentality, my mind, and I don't know if I'm not probably gonna stay next time, don't make no promise, at least I'm honest, I know I'm always gonna change my mind, I know 2020,
I don't think the whole album's gonna be like that, I think
I hope to God not.
Much like FKA Twigs' album, there's just one song with Future on it, and I think went in a trappy direction. I think Talkie Monsta might, explore. You never know what she's doing. She's pretty kind of out there.
That one. As much as we both like Talkie Monsta
and Earth Gang,
no.
I'll give it a little more credit than Sean Will in this. Yeah. And lastly, this is less of a single, but Revenge of the Dreamers 3 got re-released with maybe 8 or 9 new songs. We're not going to review it because we basically already reviewed Revenge of the Dreamers, and it's just this mixtape that's being added in true mixtape format. It's never ending. But you can check it out again. I think there's some new songs from Earth Gang, speaking of which, on there. I think there's one from featuring Vince Staples as well, Smino, a couple stuff like that.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting album. We'll definitely check it out.
By the way, speaking of stuff we didn't get to from December, and some new stuff as well, we're going to be getting to. Oh, actually, some general stuff. So K Tronada and Jack Boys, which is the Travis Scott thing, came out. And then Of Montreal released an album this week. Mm-hmm. But we will get to it next week because we have the things we're talking about.
Yes. And I didn't want to do 4 album because I just don't have the time this week. And we don't like doing 4 albums anyways, because at that point it just becomes mush.
Yeah, it's hard to really separate the albums apart when we do it that way. But yeah, let's get right into it. With first of all, kind of noting the death of Rush drummer Neil Peart.
That fucking sucks, dude. I really, 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 really like Rush. I grew up listening to Rush, and holy hell, he was a really good drummer.
Yeah.
Like if you listen to Rush, if you're a fan of Rush, you know how good Neil Peart was. And apparently, so he had an unpublicized 3.5 year battle with brain cancer that eventually caught up to him. And yeah, because I didn't hear anything about that or whatnot, so it was a kind of a sudden thing. But then when his family released about it, it makes sense. But man, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, drummers from all over, like the classic rock world, from Gene Simmons, rock artists, I mean, but like from Gene Simmons, Jack Black, Flea, Kiss, Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, surviving members of Nirvana, all of them kind of wanted to pay their
because
respects.
Because he is one of the best drummers in the history of rock music.
Yeah.
Like, by far. So that really sucks.
And now for something completely different.
Now, on to that somber note, now onto something I'm not allowed to talk about.
Very much. So
super Eminem, not allowed to talk about.
Eminem released a surprise album this week that we're also not reviewing, because Eminem's kind of in that part of his career where he's just like a lot of rappers, you're just kind of releasing stuff, but he's in uncle rapper territory. His music isn't really going very far, and the way you can tell that is because it's mostly turning into these publicity stunts where he debuted the album. Let's see, it is called Music to be Murdered By, so you kind of know where this is going. And there's one lyric in the song Unaccommodating by Eminem featuring, quote, "But I'm contemplating yelling bombs away on the game like I'm outside of an Ariana Grande concert waiting." Of course, referencing the Manchester bombing that happened last year, in 2017, sorry. When there's a terrorist attack in an Ariana Grande concert. Moving quickly from that, he also referenced in this video the Las Vegas massacre that happened at the Route 91 festival?
Yes.
Something like that.
Eminem, dog, chill.
The mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, responded to the lyrics saying they're unnecessarily hurtful and deeply disrespectful to the families and all those affected. I mean, he's just, I say, he's in that point in his career where he's just being shocking in order to get any sort of attention, but like he's not even that worthy of a musician to really kind of garner that attention at this point.
And moving on to Mugshot Corner.
Yes.
So DaBaby is arrested for battery and allegedly dousing a concert promoter with apple juice.
Yeah, so like you have to, there's a thing going on.
Mugshots. We already got into the mugshot realm. Fucking day one.
No, so there's even more mugshots actually I didn't include. There's one guy who got pulled over for like liquid cocaine or something in
Liquid cocaine? Oh, yeah, it's Florida.
And it was like a former rapper, but I just like didn't want to punch down too much because I really hadn't even heard of him before. But like, there's some interesting stuff going on with DaBaby where like, he has a storied past, not as bad as XXXTentacion, but he's definitely had some run-ins with the law, which isn't like too uncommon with rap artists, but it's definitely sort of very public this time in public assaults. But that a lot of these recent ones that have happened, there's also a case recently where he was cited for marijuana possession and resisting arrest, and 16 cops pulled up on him.
Yeah. So stop resisting.
It's literally, DaBaby is getting very policed.
Yes.
And again, battery for allegedly dousing a concert promoter with apple juice. Maybe we look into the specifics of that. Maybe apple juice is a little bit too far going for that to go to battery. Keep in mind, Meek Mill basically like started punching up that one guy in an airport, right? And everyone's rushing to defend him. But yeah, that's the world we're living in. And lastly, Kanye West gallivanting around the world with his Secret Service. He is headlining a prayer rally with anti-LGBTQ religious leaders. He's bringing certain Sunday service to Awaken 2020, which seems like the Coachella of, like, Christianity. It's the Sun Devil Football Stadium in Tempe, Arizona for a full 10 hours of worship.
Yeah.
And Kanye censoring Gold Digger. I don't know. Like,
come meet me in the Jesus style.
Come meet me in the confessional.
Yeah, all right, moving on right from there. We're not going down that route. All right, so Mac Miller, posthumous Mac Miller.
Let's bring some spirituality back into this podcast.
Yes, so Mac Miller, posthumously released Circles, 12 songs, 48 minutes long. Definitely more back into the R&B style of Mac Miller throughout this entire album. I actually really enjoyed it.
Me too.
The production of it, because with Mac Miller, I prefer his more R&B stuff anyways. His voice is kind of, it's one thing you either like his voice or you don't, because it's that kind of raspy style tone, and it's like Neil Young or Smashing Pumpkins, where you have to love it or you hate it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this album is definitely fan-fucking-tastic. I really liked it. There's a couple songs in here I like. I Can See and Hand Me Downs. Hand Me Downs is probably my favorite song on the album. It was the entire beat. It's a little bit longer song, just clocking under 5 minutes. But the entire theme of the album, it's slow. The production of it's fantastic. You can really hear, get the lyrics, everything goes together. That's what I'm trying to get. I'm tired, sorry.
No.
And so the theme of posthumous albums, I'll get into it for a little bit, is...
And we've talked
about this ad nauseum and stuff, but for people who don't know, I'm okay with it as long as they aren't holograms, and as long as they... If the family and stuff, if they... Like, the artist already has stuff in place, and, like, they're going to get ready to release it and everything.
Finishing what they started.
Exactly. So then... and then there's other ones I don't like where they... put pieces, bits and pieces together for like little peep that happened where they put bits and pieces of stuff and then push them together. I'm like, that's because then that's not his work.
Yeah,
it's
a compilation.
Exactly. I'm like, that's because he would have styled it differently, would have done it, whatever, because that's what happened with that. This sounds like a Mac Miller album for sure.
And part of the reason it does is because, like you said, Mac Miller was starting on it. He had worked on it a lot. And it was finished by someone who had previously produced Mac Miller's albums.
Exactly.
So it still has a lot of that sound. Remarkably, a lot of that sound there. Another
one
thing,
of my favorite posthumous albums ever released, actually.
Yeah, I was actually
definitely
that.
Because a lot of the other ones I've heard, they're a lot of hit and miss. This feels like him. This feels like he made this.
Yeah,
and it's fantastic. It sucks, like fuck.
One of my favorites on the album is Blue World, which Blue I actually just looked at and was produced in addition to Mac Miller and John Bryan. One Guy Lawrence from Disclosure.
Oh yeah, yeah. Guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
He helped to produce that track, and it's just like really.
They was talking that shit. Had the homies with me, all of a sudden they split. We ain't even worried, we just laughing, that's rich. You know how it goes, it ain't broke, don't fix. Hey, one of these days we'll all get by. Don't be afraid, don't fall. Think I lost my mind. Reality so hard to find. When the devil trying to call your line, shit, I always shine. Even when the light dim. No, I ain't God, but I'm feeling
the great light. Thing with this album is that it has bumps, it has like lows.
And those lows, holy fuck, they're emotional.
Yeah.
Like Hand Me Downs. That whole song, I was just literally bopping to it the entire time. This, like, when I listen to this again, I can definitely get hella emotional. Get away when it ain't really safe and it don't seem right. But with snow, you'll get used to the bullshit. Screws, they go missing. It's likely they might be blue. Remind me, shit, I need to stay. Definitely gone too soon. I mean, all the stuff when you read into it, his death, it fucking sucks.
Yeah,
it's awful. But
and
this is, but to me, this is a great way to honor his legacy. 100%.
We have reviewed a lot of posthumous albums that just don't do that very well. They don't honor the legacy. That's just like a needless or like a
and it's shameless cash grab. Yeah, it's a big time exactly cash grab. But this definitely isn't. Fucking listen to this album, guys. It's very good.
Yes. The other thing I didn't include in here was the arbitrary scale, which,
Arbitrary scale is, you haven't seen this, but I'll give you a little rundown on it. There's a stupid fucking hockey player named Brad Marchand in a penalty shot. So you know how the puck is in the middle.
He just came back from hockey, which is why this is on the
line. Yeah, but this is hilarious. So the puck's in the middle, and you know he skate up and go, it's like a penalty shot in football. He skates past the puck and loses the game. Deadass just goes, just, and he's just shaking back, and the refs are literally looking around like, what? I gotta show this to you.
So it's as though, make sure your computer's muted. Yeah. But it's as though you're like running to kick in a penalty.
And then literally,
kick.
Yeah, you literally
and you just like straight miss. Miss the ball.
You straight up miss.
You just like run past the ball. Basically, it's basically the equivalent. That's a damn shame. But wait, how is that? What?
So how many penalty shots you miss is the arbitrary scale?
Okay. This didn't miss any penalty shots.
This is you score backhand by deking the goalie going top down. And you like wheel snipe Selly so hard that a fight happens.
I'm gonna one day create an arbitrary scale that is so like neurotically intensely niche that it's gonna bother you.
That's exactly what I want in this, because for those who don't know, the arbitrary scale is not supposed to make sense because we try not to rank things except for the 50 to 100
or top 50 to 10,
50 to 100. We're not doing that podcast this long. I'm sorry, just not.
No, we have Android Sean and Android Dan reporting from. 50 of the hundreds from the middle of the burning sun, because that's already... Never mind.
I can't
find it's a really good, solid yes. album.
Oh, God, that's a cursed image. Oh, God, that's fucking... Oh, man, that's going to be one ugly-ass baby.
So, Elon Musk and Grimes talked about they are... Oh, Grimes announced that... She is pregnant with Elon Musk's baby. I don't really know what
I don't want to talk about this because this is God.
We're not putting this in Neutral Island somehow. She confirmed via an uncensored photo on Instagram that quickly got taken down and then had to be censored again.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just a lot of
okay.
Grimes, who's technically C because of the equation for light or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. We're tax the rich is basically the name of the story. Just tax the rich. Like, literally, they shouldn't have not a single cent is basically the moral of the story. Okay. Can we continue? The music industry fights the Australia fires. What does it really
say? Oh, yeah, which is good because Australia's entire country is like, we're on fire.
Yeah, what we didn't really talk about last year, and then we didn't really have full regular episodes during the months of, like, December and most of January. Yeah. But yeah, Australia was straight on fire.
And it's, like, it's bad. It's horrible.
A billion, you heard that correctly, a billion, and I'm sure this number, these are the most recently reported statistics, animals are dead because of the bushfires. This is including everything from, like, insects to koalas. Koalas are nearly extinct. It got to a point where people were selling nudes online in exchange for donations to the koalas.
They were doing the OnlyFans / koalas.
Straight ass. Like, straight ass. It's a new dead ass.
I kind of want to do that now instead of dead straight ass. Straight ass.
It's like slant ass.
Straight ass. Wait, straight what? Ass. I just want to see the look on people's face.
Straight ass 2020.
Straight ass 2020. We're going to make it a thing. You heard it here first, folks. On audio face. Straight ass. But that's awesome to see. Like, there's that story. There's so many different artists and stuff who have donated to it or have been pushing it. And it's not just artists, it's athletes, it's well-known peoples and other stuff that everybody's trying to do their part to get it, because holy fuck, it's bad and the earth is on fire and, you know, climate change. But anyways,
Yeah, also revisiting things we didn't talk about during our little gap. Drake is still quite moist from the Pusha T beef.
Yeah, I have a kid and maybe I lost the rap beef because of that. Well, you know.
I mean, he said that basically in an interview that was done exclusively for OVO Records or whatever, where he was asked about what was going on in the felt during the beef.
Yeah.
Drake said, well, you know, I have to appreciate the chess move of like bringing out my stuff because I didn't even know it was about that, which is the worst excuse, because you always pull back and say, oh, I didn't know that was fair game, when you get your ass kicked is kind of a weird kind of dichotomy with that always happens.
There's like a 2-hour interview or something with Drake that he did, and he talked hella about Pusha T and stuff. Yeah. I'm not going to sit down and watch a 2-hour interview.
Of course not. He still had some shots. He said, Pusha T, some people like his music. I personally don't, because I don't believe any of it, which is funny from someone who ghostwrites his own beats or has his own beats ghostwritten. Drake jokes about not being credited on Sicko Mode. I don't know why I wasn't credited. I don't know who finessed that, but I guess so. But like, we all know Drake was on Sicko Mode. It's pretty hard to describe it, but it's just kind of, you know, petty shit. No, Drake hasn't. And then Janelle Monáe came out as non-binary after like retweeting a thing saying like, are you a boy or a girl? I'm an experience from Steven Universe. Meaning the latest in a string of celebrities to come out as non-binary, including Sam Smith, as we've always said, it's cool that a celebrity is able to express this, but like it doesn't really.
Literally,
it's the music that's important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, who gives a fuck?
Show about morals.
Exactly.
I mean, like, people can give a fuck in the sense that it's good that there's this sort of representation because it inspires other people, but like, we still mostly care about the music.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, if your music's good, cool. If your music sucks, fuck you.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's go to Manic by Halsey, not Maniac, because I can speak English this time. 16 songs, 47 minutes long.
It's like a minute shorter than the Circles album, which is like, yeah. it's a good...
This week was...
It's a sweet spot.
A sweet spot of albums, exactly. So we didn't get overwhelmed. You could actually sit here and listen. I started last one, so you start this one. Go.
Sure. It is pop that I actually really like. It's not anti-pop so much as it's Radical's Billie Eilish, but...
Halsey is one of those pop artists where her first album was not poppy like that much. Her second album was kind of more into it, so I didn't like it as much, but this one is a blend of the two.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're the first person who like mentioned Halsey to me.
And
you
probably
mentioned like liking her music to some extent, but this is like definitely a good mix of it all.
It's a good album.
Because like it starts totally differently than it gets to like once you get to Graveyard just feels like this weird sort of really aggressive mix that goes with it, but I really like it. It's just really banging. Cause I keep digging myself down deeper. I won't stop till I get where you are. And then going through that, Forever is a Long Time, which is really like powerful piano ballad that you can just feel the emotion.
Beautiful song. I really like that song.
I knew you would like that.
Yeah. That and I Hate Everybody because of it's actually, I don't really like the beat too much if I Hate Everybody, but it's the lyrics of it that are fantastic. It's powerful. I know I've got a tendency to exaggerate what I'm seeing. And I know that it's unfair of me to make a memory out of a feeling. It's cause I notice every single thing that's ever happening in the moment. And I don't know why it's consuming me, because honestly, all I know is infatuation's observation with a cause. But none of it is love, so while I'm waiting for it, I'll hate everybody. Then why can't I go home without somebody?
Of course you like that song.
Not even because of that, because it's not even about that, like the title.
Fair.
It's the lyrics of her saying, I don't need anybody else, or something along the lines of
that. I don't need anybody else, I need everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's a very powerful album from her. I actually quite enjoyed it. And it was something that I didn't think I was going to enjoy as much going into it, because I was kind of on the fence, because her previous works were a little hit and miss. Her first stuff I liked a lot, but this was actually very good, top to bottom. Towards the bottom, I didn't like Killing Boys, and those two little interludes were kind of dragged on a bit until you got to More, which was a good song, and still learning.
Yeah.
But so I could have done without those a little bit, but I see what she was trying to do. But
there's
overall,
range in this
I like
album.
It, but it's definitely range. There's a lot. The production was very good. That's all three of these albums. The production is fantastic.
Yeah,
which is good for a change.
The production, I will say, for all three of these albums was focused.
Yes,
and it knew where it was going.
Yeah, every album, all of these three albums, all have a theme, and they stuck to that theme. They didn't really stray too far away from
I will say this album, the interludes were really great, and like I
liked
them.
Good.
They were really purposeful. They were longer. They're usually longer than a minute, other than the first one. And
yeah,
like were beats onto their own, like songs onto their own, and they're definitely good bridges for the way the album plays together. Because I'd accidentally played a couple of the albums we reviewed too. On shuffle the first time.
Oh yeah,
and totally this fucked up the experience.
I had to start over. No, this album is actually one of those especially the second half of the album, you really can't listen on shuffle because it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah,
And that's kind of my only gripe with it, is it's very linear. There's not too much you can do except outside of how it's written. But other than that, I think it's fantastic.
It's the guardrails of pop, really.
But yeah,
a really good album. I'm gonna say this is that same thing, but instead of like going right past the puck, you pick up the puck with your hands and throw it in. And the goalie is just so dumbfounded that it goes in. and the ref, having gotten a fresh hundo, is just like, score!
I'm so down. You know what? I want it. I want this to be that, but the ref comes over with the money gun and says score and just raining hundos on the bench.
Shoots the puck out of the money gun.
Shoots the puck out of the money gun. There we go. That's what it is. He grabs a money gun. He's still skating, so technically it's legal. Puts it in the money gun and shoots the money gun and scores. That's what this is. That's why I love arbitrary. That's why I wanted a wild arbitrary scale. One that makes absolutely no sense.
Coming into 2020 quite hot.
Exactly. Because who cares about rankings?
So vinyls are a thing. They're in. They're hot. I mean, not really, but it always is really fun, in my opinion, to kind of talk a little bit about the vinyls. And vinyls. What were the best-selling vinyls, not only just of last year, but of the decade? So I'll go through last year, and then we can talk to them. I'll go through 10 through 1. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, Bob Marley and the Wailers Legend. You'll notice that a lot of these are older albums, to be fair. But you'll notice near the top it gets interesting. So number 9, Bob Marley and the Wailers Legend. Number 8, Michael Jackson's Thriller. 7, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. 6, Beach Boys' Sound of Summer. Mm-hmm. Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody original soundtrack. So this is the soundtrack from the film, so it's slightly different. Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix Volume 1 on vinyl is a choice. Queen Greatest Hits, definitely motivated by the
film. For sure.
Number 2, Billie Eilish. When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go on vinyl.
Then number 1 is the Abbey Road.
Beatles.
Abbey Road has been like number 1 in vinyl sales since like 69, I believe. Because any chart I look at, it's like number 1 vinyl sales is always Abbey Road. Also, Abbey Road is like, we've never honestly had a Beatles like episode here on this podcast. We should sometime just like talk about how fucking good they are.
I have an idea of this year. One thing I want to do, even though I said this last year and we totally didn't do it, is like go into old artists more deeply.
Exactly. We'll want to talk about Led Zeppelin. I want to talk about Beatles, Beach Boys.
We'll have an opportunity to do that. We'll talk about that a little bit later because I had an idea for it. But
that's kind of cool.
But to talk about the best selling albums of the decade, let's get it out of the way. Abbey Road's number 1.
Exactly. It's solid number 1. That shit's not moving.
And by the way, it sold 558,000 copies. Number Holy 2
shit,
sold
that's a lot for vinyl.
Number 2 sold 376,000. So damn, that's just like way lower. So number 1's the Beatles Abbey Road, number 2 is Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon, number 3 Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix, number 4 Bob Marley, number 5 Amy Winehouse's Back to Black.
It's a good album.
6 Thriller, number 7 the Beatles Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, actually. Number 8, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. Number 9's Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. Shout out Miles Davis. Number 10's Lana Del Rey's Born to Die, which is one of her better albums.
And that one, because hipsters love their vinyl.
Yeah, hipsters fucking love their vinyl.
I mean, I'm a hipster and I regret it. I love my vinyl.
Yes.
Interesting.
And now for my favorite Google Doc note ever. Notes on a conditional release date. The 1975.
Fucking Maddie, stop delaying the album, you curly hair fuck.
The 1975 have decided to delay the release of Notes.
Because they're trying to press it on fucking vinyl. Fucking hipsters.
Because the vinyl probably has to be made from bamboo wood, so it doesn't come in vinyl.
It's serious. I'm like, Maddie's like, we gotta save the environment by like making sure it's renewable plastic trees. Also, they're gonna plant a tree every album sold and stuff. I'm like, Maddie's on a tangent, I guess. Dude, release the goddamn music.
I mean,
they've delayed it like 8 times now. So. I've given up.
One of my latest weird things I do on the internet is going on YouTube and watching how old video games got developed by people who don't work at those companies anymore, so they can talk about like the shit that happened on the inside. And one thing that's like a common like refrain from these people was that like a game delay is probably one of the best things that can happen to a game. Because just like give us 3 more months and we will make it just that much better. And most of the time,
I understand that. I just hate it when they put a thing of, it'll be out here, and then just push. They do this a lot, the 1975. It's probably one of my only gripes against them, is they push release dates back all the time.
I think I did say we'll see about this release date, because they do this from time to time.
They've done that with every album they've done. So that's why I'm just god damn it. Interesting.
So, John Frusciante. Frusciante.
For the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes, he used to be a Red Hot Chili Peppers member. And he's left the band around 2006, 2008 or so. And then he's actually coming back. He said he was already coming back for live performances. But he's actually coming back to help with the Red Hot Chili Peppers' upcoming new record. He hasn't worked on an album since with them since Stadium Arcadium.
That's
was quite a
holy
record.
Fuck. That's a record.
If we did 50 of the aughts,
that would be up there, man. Yeah. That would be super up there. God, we couldn't do 50 of the aughts because that's too much. That's such a saucy decade of music.
I arguably the best decade.
My favorite.
Yeah,
by far. Absolutely my favorite. But that's cool. So to see him, so actually full Red Hot Chili Peppers back. So it'll be interesting to see what sounds they create with, because they are clever musicians, all of them. And yeah, especially them together, they've made some damn good stuff. So don't be Uncle Rocky.
Yeah, literally Uncle Rocky.
Yes.
So Bjork composed a score for the lobby of a New York City hotel, along with Microsoft Artificial Intelligence.
Interesting. I don't know what the hell you do for a hotel lobby. Just make something like ethereal sounds or some shit, I guess.
It's literally kind of elevator music, but like kind of. So here's what happens. Sister City, which is like part of the Ace Hotel mm-hmm. chain, asked Bjork if she wanted to make a generative lobby score to stream inside the hotel. And Bjork took them up on the offer by using AI technology from Microsoft that selected choir snippets from her entire archive of music.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
So it's all her stuff. It's just compiled and made different to where it just sounds. Yeah, I mean, she has so much choir sounds and stuff in her music, for sure.
Yeah.
That you can do that.
If you happen to be in New York anytime between now and February 23rd, 2020, you can go to the hotel lobby and on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. and you can hear.
That's such a fucking niche thing to
get. And
that's like,
they'll have a special selection of Icelandic-inspired food and drinks while you're there.
What the fuck is Icelandic food?
I mean, I don't know.
I know they have like some weird milk drink thing that they love to do. They're really heavy on dairy. I know that. So Sean can't have that shit. Also, this reminds me of when Mos Def made an album that was only at an art museum because he's like, I'm a hipster now.
Yeah, I think that was a thing too. It's just like, there's someone who wrote an article saying like, yeah, don't do this.
Yeah, don't. But I mean, Bjork, that's kind of cool. I guess it's just super, super niche.
Yes. Let's go to Muramasa's Raw Youth Collage.
R-Y-S-E-D.
It's straight C.
Why did my brain do that? R-Y-C.
Trying to be a little too European.
I didn't mean that. 11 songs, 37 minutes long. So again, that kind of like happy middle ground. Very eclectic, very much an experimental album that I fucking really like.
This is a
like,
concept album for sure.
That I really like.
It's the title is very explanatory, Raw Youth Collage, because it's very much this like collection of songs that are kind of lo-fi, felt like they could be recorded on a laptop in someone's 100%. College bedroom. And like it's really kind of raw and youthful and getting into those themes.
The opening track sets it off perfectly because the first half of the song is just like, oh, slow build up of an acoustic guitar. That's, you can hear the strings hitting off of the frets, and then it turns into this beautiful little orchestral piece with a fucking Ande Martineau in it.
That's
you hear the little.
That's kind of a really popular instrument.
Just the sound of it. I've been telling you for like my entire life. Put it in music
from birth, basically.
From birth, I'm like, go the little doo 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 doo, and but they use it the right way.
Yeah.
They use it where it's such a niche instrument, it's such a niche sound. I don't think they actually got Ande Martineau because I don't know how you find one, but you can like use a laptop to make the sounds.
Yeah,
exactly. And they made it to where it's more of like a backdrop thing, and it goes into it, kind of like the Daft Punk song on Random Access Memories that does it the same way. And then it abruptly stops, and then it keeps going. And that's a lot of these songs do that. No Hope Generation is good. The only song I didn't quite like too much is I Don't Think I Can Do This Again, featuring Claro. The third song, I don't know. I don't know, like the production of it too much, but the rest of it was actually very good.
Yeah, I think
I don't know why I don't like that song much.
I think it was that song too. There was one song like that where just like I came to it and just I can't listen to the whole thing.
Because, you know, I skipped through it. I don't think it just didn't feel like it belonged in it.
Yeah.
But No Hope Generation is great, and Meeting at an Oak Tree featuring Ned Green is great. Visarius Living Anthem.
Vicarious Living Anthem.
Because I can't fucking read right
I
now.
I Deal With It with Slow Tie is like a really, so like another thing with this is, if you're coming from Muramasa and you're expecting like lo-fi hip-hop beats to chill and study
absolutely,
to, that's
kind of his thing. That's what I thought going into it. I'm like, oh, it's going to be lo-fi hip-hop beats. I'm just going to put it on. I'm like, punishing yourself might deal with it. 1% on my phone and getting me home, so I'm bopping. No options in his life give me nothing.
Every second you waste is a second closer to the pearly gates. Ah, that's deep, innit? It's deep, mate. I woke up, I slept and woke up again.
Deal with it.
And this life didn't ever fucking change.
Deal with it.
People say I'm a nuisance. Well, what's the problem?
Deal with it.
People say they're busy.
Why is this now a hipster experimental album that I really like?
Yeah.
Like, literally completely out of left field.
And I'm glad Muramasa grew as an artist.
100%. Totally, because lo-fi beats you can only do for so long until it's like, this
and literally all kind of blurs.
This is very different. I haven't heard sounds like this aren't common, for sure. And doing these things where one song doesn't necessarily have a complete structure to it. Literally, a lot of these just abruptly stop a minute in and completely change and then abruptly stop and go back.
Yeah.
And it's really much a concept album in that regard. Obviously, the whole theme of Wild Youth Collage. So you could really hear kind of a playful thing, like early MGMT style. Yeah. Of like, fuck it, we're going to make what we want. This is what we want to make and deal with it. And I, you know,
you even get that almost broad, like SoundCloud sort of vibe.
You,
like,
for sure.
There's a couple songs yeah, where it's like, is it recording? Are we ready to go? Let's do it.
Yeah,
like that kind
yeah
of thing. I think it even might be a meeting at an oak tree, which even itself plays out like this weird love story kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
This is using our arbitrary scale. This is like, you're playing street hockey in like high school PE or just like street hockey or whatever. Mm. And we just do some like weird puck shit. I don't know. Because this feels like super casual. Something you
this
do,
is what
like,
you do. Okay, you have a net in your friend's backyard, right? And you do some ridiculous move you can never do in an actual game, but you do it in the backyard and everybody's like, oh. You try it in the game and you eat shit.
Yeah.
And this is why we have an arbitrary scale. It's not supposed to make sense, humans. Make sense. Yeah. I love it. Good album, though. Let's go back to some more news.
Yes, yeah, so the day. These are the quick hits. Massive Prince tribute concert is taking place after the Grammys. This is what gave me the idea I was talking about a little bit earlier in the podcast, where we should, so basically in this tribute concert, it's going to have Earth, Wind & Fire, Mavis Staples, Alicia Keys, Usher, Beck, Foo Fighters, John Legend, a lot of them. And you even get Coldplay's, Chris Martin, a bunch of people are going to be there. And you can get tickets to the concert, but they're going to air it in April. I believe April might have been Prince's, like around the time Prince's birthday. But we should do like a whole Prince retrospective.
I'm super down. We should actually hella have Bam on that too, because Bam is the biggest Prince fan I know. Bam from the We Made a Podcast.
Yes.
Check him out for soccer shit.
That'd be interesting. Cardi B.
I heard this.
Wants to run for political office.
She wants to go back to school and learn everything, learn all the slurs you can do in Congress.
Yeah, and said as much.
She did. I said, like, I want to go back in school and learn. And do, oh God, sorry, I got burps. And go into politics, which, interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of admire you for saying that. I was like, fuck it. I enjoy this so much. I want to do something about it.
Not enjoy, but I think she just like, she cares about it so much and feels like she can make a lot of a difference, which I think is good. Politics shouldn't just be for lawyers. It should really be ideally something where people of all different professions kind of come together, because that's a way you can better represent people.
100%.
Because diversity of opinion doesn't really
diversity
just stop it. Doesn't really just stop it, like skin color or gender orientation. It's also just like diversity of experience.
Diversity, no, I mean diversity of experience, diversity of where you grew up and your backgrounds, and then your professions as well.
Yeah.
Because then everybody has their own different perspectives in it.
Ideas. Justin Bieber has revealed that he has Lyme disease and battles with chronic mono. And you can find out more about his diseases on an upcoming Netflix documentary special. Not Netflix, YouTube docuseries. So I have an illness, watch my content. Is really shameless, but if that already didn't feel kind of weird, like he's been acting out, and then he was acting out, and then he decided to be Christian again.
Yeah.
And then he was trying to step back, but then he decided they wanted to fight Tom Cruise, right?
And then he backed down from the fight. He's like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
That's why we nominated him for he was like the 35th nominee of the Not a Little Bitch Award last
Justin
year.
Justin Bieber saw himself getting Conor McGregor in 40 seconds, and he was like, hey, I don't want that. But anyways, What he also did this week was that Justin Bieber told his fans to use VPNs to cheat Spotify's single thing. So he was literally...
Oh, what an asshole.
So he was literally saying, create a... He tweeted an image that said, create a playlist with Yummy on repeat and stream it. Don't mute it. Play it at a low volume. Let it play while you sleep. If you're not a player from the US, you can download a VNP app. Set the VPN to US and then create a Spotify account. So basically what VPNs do is they let you like mask your IP address. They can tell you, or they can tell what country you're in. So if you have like region locked content that you can only watch to a certain country, you can
use a VPN. Like say you're trying to watch a show on the BBC that doesn't get released in America for like another 4 months. Use a VPN to go ahead and get to the BBC and watch it.
It also has privacy uses, but mainly it's like location.
Mainly used for location.
This would be a violation of Billboard's policies. So he deleted that and might have some issues.
But good, you need to have some fucking issues on that. You shouldn't do that, asshole.
And finally, and, because we like to end audio based on fun notes. Remember Firefest blowjob guy? Maybe you don't, but his name's Andy King. And he's finally got his thirst quenched. Basically, there's one guy in the Fire, the Greatest Party That Never Happened documentary, where basically, at one point, he was suggested that if he wanted to get water for Fire Festival, because they had no...
They literally had nothing. Yeah.
He was like, well, you might have to, you know, get on your knees to get that water. He suggested it. So anyways, Evian, the water brand, actually sent him a water bottle that says, Evian, so good you do anything for it. And Andy King's a good sport. He took a picture of it smiling.
I fucking wouldn't, bud. I wouldn't. I would take the L and I'd be like a dog when he has a tail between your legs and just like squat on home. That's what I would do. Just take the L, bud.
Andy King famously admitted in a Netflix documentary that he was actually willing to perform oral sex on a customs agent in order to get drinkable water onto the festival grounds.
How desperate must you be?
Desperate enough to follow Audioface on Twitter and Instagram? I'm kidding, you wouldn't be desperate enough to do that. You would be honored, I'd assume, to do that. Thank you very much for listening and watching this podcast. You can follow Sean on Twitter at SWSuarez. Instagram, the same thing. On Instagram, I'm Dan from the internet, and on Twitter, I'm Dan from the web. You can follow the entire show at Audioface Pod, and check out our website, audioface.show. Thank you, and we'll be back next week with more album reviews and some fun stuff.
That was good.
Cheers. All
right. Cheers.
Apparently, and they're gonna release like 3 more songs from Notes as well in between now.
Did they receive 3 more?
Yeah. Read the article, because apparently we're releasing even more songs to kind of compensate for the longer release date on top of what they've already released.
Grant, I know Notes is gonna be long. It's going to be like 1:20 or something like that.
Jesus Christ.
But I mean, Brief Inquiry is 1:10, I think.
I thought it was like 50.
Or is it? It should be longer than that. I like it when you sleep as long. Check right now. Because Me and You Together sound actually is pretty good. About 58.
Yeah.
So just under the hour mark.
Yeah. So I was like, I would not have tolerated it. I would not have, like, it wouldn't have been album of the year.
Because I like when you sleep is 1:14.
Yeah.
But I don't like when you sleep is long. And their first album, I think, was around that time as well. Yes, 1:10. So they usually make big, like, long albums. Yep. Interesting, yeah. 4 more songs. So 3, yeah, after Meaning Together song. So 3 more, wow. So you're going to have half the fucking album.
Right. Which I don't like.
I don't like that, honestly. I would honestly rather after this one, after Meaning Together song, which just came out, like, stop. Not put
stop or, like, literally one more. Like,
I wouldn't even do another one.
From a marketing perspective, I would do another one. From a marketing
perspective, yeah. As me, as somebody, I might not even listen to it that much because I just want to see.
I only listen to Me and You Together song like once, kind of, because it's like I need to wait.
Mm-hmm. it sounded straight like Blur, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
this album's very eclectic.
And that's another thing I'm worried about is that like I don't want this to be their humans.
Yeah, that's my worry right now too. That's I'm like, all right, come on, boys. Like, you made three in a row. Don't fuck it up.
They're gone.
But I mean, Tom York has worried me other times too, and it's worked out. So we'll find out right now. We'll find out. Every song they've put out, I have liked.
Audioface.show/updates.
Exactly. Well, we can't do that. Absolutely fucking not, bud. I don't have the time for that.